Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
It gets so hard just trying to figure it out, fighting down. Trying to believe God, trying to watch the words of my mouth and stay on the ride. Troubles come and go, even on the mountain high or the valley low. Never let your faith go.
Oh, never let your faith go.
I've been there before, so confused, don't know which way to go. Stressed out, world so crazy, might as well stay in the house. Fear trying to rise up, got terrorists in the sky.
They look like us, but we know who we trust. Just when I say that we go.
In these last days, evil times will come, and it's here today. Look at all the hate, senseless crime and murder. Human trafficking, racism, police brutality, bullying, rape, trouble, and shame.
Shame, abuse, and evil, I pray.
Let your kingdom come, let your will be done.
In the earth,
let your glory rise, let your sun shine.
Let it burn.
Chinese conundrum with America and how America has to find out how to deal with this because she sees herself losing power. I mean, there was a great shift in power. And let me say this to you all also. If you hear crackling in the background, the phone lines did not have all of this until I called into the host line, and about 5 or 8 minutes before the show, the crackling and the static in the phone line started, but you know how that goes. But we're going to still do this thing, okay? We'll still do this thing. But as I was saying to you all, there was a great taking of a geopolitical fault line that a lot of you missed in the recent days and weeks, and even to the lead up to these days and weeks that we're now in. I want to direct your attention. I'm going to read a couple things real quick, and it is imperative that you follow along what I'm saying, because I'm going to try to connect dots by the grace of Almighty God Allah. And we're going to see that there's a great transfer of power. There's a great transfer of economics from west to east. And this is causing America and Europe, under the auspices of NATO, to lash out, because they see everything that they have, the position, the power, the influence, the wealth, all of that stuff, not only being challenged by the east, but they're being overtaken by the east. And we're going to prove that. Remember what we told you about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, how we put a timeline after reading and studying his words, his books, and how he told us to watch out for the war that's going to take place in the Near East. And after that war, they would transition to Asia. And after that war, after China puts the spank on them in Asia, they're going to transition back to Europe to make their final international stand. We're seeing this thing. Don't think that everything is over with in the Near East, the MENA region, the Middle East and North African region. Don't think that it's over with. America, she's trying to tuck tail and run, but she's trying to save face. But it's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. If you go to the Patreon, you'll get a lot of information that just happened over in the Middle East with Kevin Barrett. I had him on, Professor Kevin Barrett, the co-founder of 911 Truth Movement. He's a podcast host. He is an author, a writer, a journalist, an international spokesman, and an activist. You got to go over there and you got to check this stuff out. I'm telling you. And I got some information about what took place in the meeting with the Chinese and the United States. And it is not exactly how they are reporting it in the papers and on the internet. And maybe I'll share that with you if it connects to this. But I want to get into something, and I'm trying to get it fast, because if they're messing with my phone lines with the static, they may cut us off. Okay. So follow along. We're going to go. This is going to be short here. I'm going to go in the fall of America. Where is it? Fall of America. Oh, here we are. We're going to flip to chapter 38. Here we are. And the title of this chapter, because it has everything to do with the economic and geopolitical earthquake that's shaking the world. It seems like the American so-called Negro is blind to the reality that there's a whole shift. A spiritual shift, an economic shift, a political shift, and a military shift that is underway right now. And it is all to his benefit. Okay? So this chapter is titled, The Fall of America Foretold. Separation is the Answer. Right? In this, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad writes, and he quotes, in the first part of it, quotes a little section of the Holy Quran. He says, Holy Quran 86, verse 6, 7, and 12. And when the cities are set afire, and when men are united, and when the hell is kindled, the folding up is the title, taken from the first verse of that chapter, in which the above verses are found. Listen to me, this is very close. You have to pay close attention to this, because it's going to connect to what we want to play for y'all and what's here, okay? It says, when the sun is folded up, for the Quran, chapter 81, verse 1, symbolically prophesies the folding up of a recorded work, a record of what people have done, as its use will no longer be necessary. This refers to what takes place in the resurrection. Stop right there. What is so spectacular? spectacular or so significant about a folding up that takes place in the resurrection. This is the shutting up, the closing off of American and Western power. This is what you have to understand. That folding up is referring to their time to rule under the sun has come to an end, okay? And you are living in this right now. He goes further and says, one party is recorded as a beginning. What party is now a beginning? Because in the Bible there's two Adams, right? There's two Adams. So the new Adam has a beginning. But that Adam who transgressed against God, his time has come to a close and end. He says one party is recorded as a beginning while the other party is discontinued. We see this clearly being made manifest today. How do we see it? How do we understand it? You have to look at the economic picture. You have to look at the political picture. You have to look at the geopolitical picture. And you have to study that. The connecting of the dots give you the picture. So he says, war causes the destruction of civilizations. War destroys the cities and towns of a nation. This chapter 81 of the Holy Quran is now being fulfilled. Stop right there. If you look at the world today, there's a positioning of war materials everywhere where America sees her power threatened, everywhere where Europe sees their power threatened, right? This is the beginning of war. They have wars, covert wars. They have economic wars, the sanction war that's going on right now, right? And they are building up for a military-to-military war against powers who are deemed their rivals or superiors. I want you to, where's the, where is the, give me a second. I'll save you after a while because I'm going to connect this stuff for you. And then we're going to go into some clips that goes hand in hand with this. You got to give me a second. Brothers and sisters, there's something very, very magnificent, very, very beautiful that is going on, and you are letting it pass right by you without opening up your eyes. You are in the time of your resurrection and the time of your upliftment, and you don't even recognize. You're still trying to be a part of a dying system, a dying political system, a dying educational system, a dying culture system. Everything that they have is dying a natural death, and you cannot tell me that it's not because they are saying it themselves. They don't even want their educational system anymore. They don't want their political system anymore. If they did, why the hell did they have that uprising in Washington, D.C. on the 6th of this year? Why the hell are the teachers protesting about curriculum and pay? Huh? And why is there a need for local, municipal, state, and federal agencies, if they're so confident in their system, to pass more laws that brings the system to yield and brings it to heal? Huh? All of this is connected to the economic and geopolitical earthquake that is shaking the world. And most people don't see it. But let's go. I'm connecting this, the folding up to this. So give me chapter 21 of Our Savior Has Arrived. Messenger Muhammad writes, and we're going to prove this stuff. We're going to bag this stuff up. Due to the presence of Allah in person, Master Farad Muhammad, to whom all holy praises are due forever, and his aims and purpose to take over his own, it brings us hourly to a showdown of who shall rule the nations of earth. This is what is going on right now. Because they know that the Son of Man is no longer to come. The Son of Man has come, and he is now making manifest his power by the removal of every instrument and every level of power that the white world enjoyed and dominated in. Right? This has everything to do with the Chinese. Okay? Oh, but yes, it has everything to do with the Chinese. It has everything to do with your salvation. Muhammad goes further and says, the present world, and then in parentheticals, he says white people, have had their time and have gone over their time to rule. Stop right there. And if you look, their rulership in their own lands or the lands that they've conquered is dissolving and coming to an end. yet they still try to conquer other lands and still try to dominate and tell everybody else what to do while at home. Everything is falling apart. So he goes further and says this. Nevertheless, they still want to rule or destroy the idea of someone else ruling as shown by their preparations made for the total destruction of the human family of the earth. Stop right there. It was revealed today that America has over 3,700 nuclear weapons on a hair trigger to release. What the hell you need 3,700 nuclear weapons for? Not including the ones you got in storage. Huh? Why do you need 20 aircraft carriers? You know, she says 12, but she has those light aircraft carriers that she don't count. So she got 20 aircraft carriers. Why do you need to go all around the world? That is to try to put people in check so that you can maintain your rule. Right? To threaten them that we'll bomb you, we'll sanction you, we'll go to war with you. Right? What did he say? Nevertheless, they still want to rule or destroy the idea of someone else ruling. Stop right there. Okay? Because it is very significant. It's something very significant that was said in that. They don't want anyone else to rule. They don't want anyone else to be able to challenge their positions. Isn't that something? They don't want anyone else to be on a level with them. One of the articles that came out a few days ago, and you can read it on Hiram's 1555 blog, but let me see if I can pull it up. I'm going to see just on a whim if I can pull it up real quick for you. Give me a second. I'm going to the Hiram's blog. So you guys, please be patient with your brother. I do all of this on the fly. I do all of this right in front of you. Here we are right here. Let's see. Go through. I'll find. In this article, I'm going to give you the gist of the article. In this article, America openly says that they must do everything they can to hinder or prevent China's rise. In that article, the headline said it all, too. They were talking about doing what they can to stop the rise of China. Why are they so preoccupied with China? Huh? Huh? I'm asking you this. Why must they focus so much on China? Because they know what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. They know better than you what he said. They have the tapes. They have the recorded conversations. They have the lectures. They have the writings. They keep them from you, but they keep them. And they understand in this time that 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period, what is to transpire. So they're hedging themselves by trying to prevent China's breakout capacity. Are you listening to me? I'm hoping so. So let me see if I can find this article, because if I can find this article, the headline says it all. Let's see, where is it? Is this it? No, that's the yelling thing. Let's see. Give me a second. What you are? Because this thing is it adds emphasis, and I like to add emphasis. Plus, I like to prove what I'm saying. I don't like to just put something out there and just leave it out there without proving it. Due to the fact that people always got something to say. Always. Do something. You're trying to do something good. They got something to say. You're not doing something. They got something to say. They got something to say regardless. But they don't have nothing to say about them not doing something. They can make excuses all day long, right? About why they're not doing what they're supposed to do, why they're not on their job or their post. You guys understand what I'm saying, right? So give me a second. Let's see. I hope I didn't delete it. Let's see. Here we go, right? Give me a second. Because I got to read this again with that, and that shows so much truth about America's true plans. I get all these emails, too. So, oh, here it is, right here, right in front of me. Right in front of me. I'm looking at the article right in front of me and then see it. Because I thought it was from Press TV, but it's not from Press TV. But listen, I had already pulled the article up on the screen, and I'm scrolling in my emails in the article right up on my screen. I tell you what, y'all brothers and sisters, forgive you, brother. I make mistakes, too. Listen, the article titled, U.S. says must slow down China's rate of innovation. In the article, it reads like such. Imagine Beijing saying its project was to slow down America's innovation rate. And then editor's note says, some of it is framed in the context of China ripping off our IP, but that is not the whole story. Plus, there is no legitimacy to IP monopolies and IP shakedowns anyway. It's a way for multinationals to use the power of the state to stifle competition via the enforcement of the ludicrous idea that because somebody has already done what you're doing, you're not allowed to do it, also do it for yourself. All right? Now listen. It says, Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo said Tuesday that the U.S. will rally allies. See, she can't do this by herself. That right there shows you in a nutshell that America's losing her power. When she's talking about rallying allies, whenever she used to do stuff, she would do it alone, whether she had somebody with her or not. By hook or by crook, she would do it. Right? But listen, Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo said Tuesday that the U.S. will rally allies in order to mount pressure on China, the world's second largest economy, an approach that differs from the America's First policies pursued by President Joe Biden's Republican predecessor, Donald Trump. All it is doublespeak. That's doublespeak. Both of them are pursuing the same policy, and that is to keep America as the global hegemon. But let's go further. America is most effective when we work with our allies, Raimondo said. That's to, like, pat somebody on the back, you know, when you get ready to stick them. When you get ready to stick them, you don't want them to know that you're about to stick them with something. And that's what she's doing with her so-called allies, because she knows that all of them are outraged at America's arrogance. In this article that you can read, it talks about how America plans to stifle China's growth. America is planning isolate China, how America is trying to use all of the nations that are Western nations or whatever that China is invested in to force them to side with America, right? Let's go back to what Elijah Muhammad said right here. And now it starts to be clear. The present world of white people have had their time to rule and have gone over their time to rule. Nevertheless, they still want to rule or destroy the idea of someone else ruling, as shown by their preparations made for the total destruction of the human family of Earth. Stop right there. So, while she's mounting a fierce economic and political campaign to dehumanize and drop China, right, she's also shifting up policies to put 70% of her military hardware in Asia, to put box China in a ring. Remember, Elijah Muhammad told you that this was going to happen. And the Chinese prepared. And I told you, and I've been telling you on shows, that when that Chinese journalist went back to Peking, she was debriefed by Mao's government. And from that point on, they implemented Elijah Muhammad's five-year program, because it was 5 years. He shortened it for you because you didn't have patience. It's a five-year program, and they built themselves up, and they have been making moves ever since then to prepare for what's coming now. In an interview given the other day, you can go to CCTV or CCNTV, the Chinese news, it's the English version. And in there, they say that they are well aware of America's moves, and they have been preparing for at least 40 to 50 years for this. What? Huh? You mean to tell me that Elijah was telling you the truth? Right? So, I'm going to tell you. This is about America losing her position. This is what it's all about. She's desperately losing her position. Now, I'm going to go to something, and then we're going to get in some articles and some clips in a second. All right, but we're gonna transition to theology of time for just a second. But before we do that, this goes hand in hand with what I was just telling you about the economy and how America is trying to suppress China. Why is she trying to? Because remember, the first estimate they had of China overtaking the American economy was by 2050 or 2060, right? Then all of a sudden, the new estimates came out that says China's economy will surpass the United States economy in 2028. But the real truth of the matter is, in PPP, China has already surpassed the United States as the largest economy, and they did it in 2015. Uh-oh, 2015, a strategic year, right? That's a strategic year, isn't it? So why is America trying? Now listen, America is doing everything she can to prevent China's rise. And she's, remember the word that I just said to you about the Commerce Secretary, I think it was the Commerce Secretary. She says the U.S. must do everything they can to slow down China or destroy China's rate of innovation. Right? Let me go to that article. I'm going to read that again. It says, U.S. says must slow down China's rate of innovation. Why? Ask the question, why? And the answer is that China has now surpassed the United States in technological preeminence. A lot of things that people don't know. See, all this comes back to the black man and woman of America, how Elijah Muhammad told us that the yellow man would be used to help liberate and free you, that the yellow man of Asia would be used to help put you back on top of civilization. Huh? You gotta pay attention to this now, because this is very, very interesting, and it is very, very critical to understand it. So why are they going after the innovation? They tried to stifle China's economy by saying that COVID came from China. They tried to stifle China's economy through the sanctions war. They're losing. America's paying the price for the sanctions. So why now are they going after innovations in technology? Huh? You know why?
Why?
Because according to Reuters news agency, on April 7, 2020, it says, in a first, China knocks U.S. from top spot in global patent race.
Hmm?
So that means in 2020, China had already replaced America as the number one innovator in the world. Period. Bar none. They have the number one supercomputer. Right? They have the five largest banks in the world. While I'm talking to you, we're going to stay on this here because it's something very serious, and I'm going to play a clip that goes hand in hand with this, how she's losing at everything. Remember, Elijah Muhammad told us, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the last messenger of God, told us that this yellow man would chase down this American white man in everything that he dominated in. Right? So we're watching this in real time, and yet you act like you don't see the great economic and geopolitical earthquake that has shaken the world. This is what it says. Let's go to this article. I'm going to click on it. Now, this is my first time reading it with you, even though it's from last year. And I just Googled this stuff while we was on the air now. So you can do it too, so stop being sorry and stop being lazy. It says, this article was written in Geneva by Stephanie Neverhey. It says, China was the biggest source of applications for international patents in the world last year. Last year. So this article was written in 2020, so that means it was 2019. Pushing the United States out of the top spot it had held since the global system was set up. More than 40 years ago, the UN Patent Agency said on Tuesday. countries to share recognition of patents said 58,990 applications were filed from China last year, beating the United States out in that field, which only filed 57,840. Woo! Listen what this says, the next paragraph. China's figure was a 200-fold increase in just 20 years. The United States has filed the most applications in the world every year since the Patent Cooperation Treaty system was set up in 1978. And then it goes on to say more than half of the patent applications now, and this is, remember, this is, they're talking about this in 2020. More than half of the patent applications, 52.4%, now come from Asia. Not the West, but Asia. It is the Asiatic nations who are the ones laying her low. Huh? Didn't Elijah Mama tell you that? I'm talking to you. Don't act like you don't hear me. Because this is the real deal. So Muhammad says, he tells us what to expect, what to look for. When we see this, know that this will happen and this will happen. And when we see this and hear this, this will happen. You got to follow the Rosetta Stone of truth to understand the dialect of the God. Let's go to theology of time. So I hadn't forgotten what I said. So, in the theology of time, let's see, where's, here we go. Oh, man, it was open right up to it. Oh, praises to the Lord for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Listen, we write along this, how China is chasing down America and everything, right? In the theology of time, Messenger Muhammad writes, it was 6,000 years ago that Yaqub, the god of the white man, saw his way in making his people by playing with two pieces of steel. It's something I want to talk to you about. That's why I brought up steel. Because it is a paradigm shift going on that you are not aware of. Because you look at news and you read it, but you don't read into it. Okay? And some people just don't have the foresight or the insight to do it, and I don't blame you. But listen, this steel lays at the base of Western civilization. There are two things which have catapulted and propelled the white world or the Western world to dominate the rest of the world. The two of the pillars of their world and their strength and their power is lies or tricknology, and the other is steel. You don't see what I'm talking about. Just hold on a second. Muhammad goes further and says, one was attracted to the other. He's talking about the white man still playing with steel. This is the base of his knowledge to rule. Stop right there. What did he say? He's still playing with the steel. This is his base of the knowledge to rule. He goes and says, it is to turn steel into weapons and use the weapons to kill you and me. This is just what he's doing. Right? Now, that's because for decades upon decades upon decades, he's been able to outproduce anybody in steel. Because steel lays at the base of a foundation of his rule, right? And so being able to outbuild and out-manufacture with the steel that other nations were trying to catch up to, she was able to put more fleets of warships out there in the sea. She was able to put more warplanes in the air. She was able to build more weapons and missiles and air defense systems, right? Because that is the base of her power. But what if I told you a paradigm shift took place in the steel market? What if I tell you that? What if I told you that America is in serious trouble? And she cannot see her way out of this due to the fact that God is after her for the evil that she's done for you, to you and I. Huh? still is at the base of her fall. It's the base of her power, and it is the base of her fall. Let me see if I can pull up something on this real quick while I'm talking to you, okay? Give me a second. Here we go, right here. Let me see. Yeah, here we go. Here we go. Remember what I just told you. Remember what I just read to you. This comes out the theology of time. He says that one was attracting the other, talking about the two pieces of steel. The white man is still playing with steel. This is the base of his knowledge to rule. It is to turn steel into weapons and to use the weapons to steal you and me. So at one time, once upon a time, she was the global hegemon in shipbuilding. She was the global hegemon in steel refining, right? I want you to listen to this little 58-second clip. We'll see if a paradigm shift that took place. Because remember, and I'm going to say this again, that the basis for power to rule is to ship, to steal, to manufacture more weapons than anybody. And that was just taken away from her this year. Well, not even this year, a few years ago, but specifically this year. Listen to this.
I pointed out that China made a major investment in steel plants beginning about 20 years ago. In the last 20 years, half of American steel companies have been shuttered. We went from 100 U.S. steel companies to 51. And employment in the American steel industry dropped by 40% since the year 2000. China now produces more steel in 1 month than America does in an entire year.
Woo! It's so easy to prove Elijah Muhammad. It's unfair. It's just so unfair. Listen, China now has surpassed them in the steel making. And steel was the base of their power to rule. There's a great paradigm shift that just took place, and you didn't even know it. Oh, man, I'm telling you, Almighty God, Allah, and the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom all holy praises are due forever, is magnificent. He is manifesting his will right in front of us. And we didn't even know it. We don't even realize it. They show the clip, they talk about it, and yet you overlook this stuff. But you've got to become married, I would say, to God's truth. You've got to, especially in this day and time, because there's so many things going on. One misstep could make you lose your life or you lose your family's life. I'm telling you, you are witnessing the economic and geopolitical earthquake that's shaking the world. It is magnificent to see this. I'm telling you this. I'm going to go to the phone lines. I see my good brother, Rashid, on there. I got to bring him in. I know he got something to say. So, long legum, brother. Go ahead.
Walaik Islam, brother. A great day today, ain't it, brother?
Go ahead, brother.
Well, only somebody who loves Elijah Muhammad can be excited at such news.
Yes, sir.
The rest of the world, it walk around sad, but you tell I follow the honor of Elijah Muhammad what you just said, and brother, a gleam comes on your face, brother. You be smiling from ear to ear. Also, brother, don't forget the Moon of Alabama put out an article yesterday where it was saying, let me get it. It's saying CIA laments about loss of spies in Russia and elsewhere. The article is saying that they're spies, bootlickers, traitors, Uncle Tom, stew pigeons are being killed. And if they're not being killed, they're being turned into double.
Yeah.
Now, you need to tell me that CIA, big bad CIA, is losing their grip on the spies.
Yep.
What goes into what you just said, that everybody else is rising up against her and throwing off her yoke of oppression, and they're doing stuff on their back. She is losing all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
The black man of America.
somebody to have less of a brain than that. No brains at all, brother. And then they, like you said,
four of those clips. None of them are over 4 minutes. None of them. I want to share with you these things to show you how God is setting America at odds with her enemies and her allies alike, and how Allah is breaking the bind between America and Europe, and how Allah is breaking the economic dominance of America. This stuff is happening while America is losing her position in everything. What did Elijah Muhammad say? We're going to go, since some of us are so hard to say it together, let's say it together. Elijah Muhammad, the last messenger of God, the greatest messenger of God, told us that the yellow man of Asia, that Chinaman, would chase down this American white man in every field that he once dominated in. All one has to do is get on Google and Google it. Well, let's see. This goes back, it's going to predate to Trump's era, I mean to Obama's era. Then we're going to fast forward a little bit to Trump's era, and then the clip after that will be in Biden's era. And we'll see the damage that's being done for her hypocrisy, her arrogance, her hubris, and her betrayal of her allies. All right? Let's listen to this. It's 3 minutes and 48 seconds. Listen good.
They mastered the fuel cycle. When people say, oh my gosh, I'm worried about what happens in year 15 or 20, they may become a nuclear threshold nation. Folks, they are a nuclear threshold nation today. They became that. And they became that while we had a policy of no enrichment. A country that's mastered the fuel cycle.
People say, oh, we've got the 5+1 together again and negotiate a better deal. You're beginning to deal with that. Will you deal with the problem of getting that 5+1 again to get on the same position you're in now?
One of the reasons, Sir Harry, that we felt it was important to move forward with this negotiation is the fact that the sanctions was already framed. Remember, folks, we don't trade with Iran. We have a primary embargo. And by the way, the primary embargo will stay. But if everybody thinks, oh, no, we're just tough, the United States of America, we have our secondary sanctions, we can force people to do what we want. I actually heard that argument on television this morning. I've heard it from a number of the organizations that are working that are opposed to this agreement. They're spreading the word, America is strong enough, our banks are tough enough, we can just bring the hammer down and force our friends to do what we want them to. Well, look, a lot of business people in this room. Are you kidding me? The United States is going to start sanctioning our allies and their banks and their businesses because we walked away from a deal, and we're going to force them to do what we want them to do even though they agreed to the deal we came to? Are you kidding? That is a recipe, quickly, my friends, for them to walk away from Ukraine, where they are already very dicey and ready to say, well, we've done our bit. They were ready, in many cases, to say, well, we're the ones paying the price for your sanctions. It was Obama who went out and actually put together a sanctions regime that had an impact. I went to China. We persuaded China, don't buy more oil. We persuaded India and other countries to step back. Can you imagine trying to sanction them after persuading them to put in place sanctions to bring Iran to the negotiating table? And when they have not only come to the table, but they made a deal, we turn around and nix the deal and then tell them you're going to have to obey our rules on the sanctions anyway. That is a recipe, very quickly, my friends, business people here, for the American dollar to cease to be the reserve currency of the world, which is already bubbling out there. And if the United States...
So I cut it short right there because he said the main parts of what I wanted to hear. So it was already bubbling that the world wanted to move away from America's dollar. Now, he said that, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, now think about this. We asked China, we asked India, we asked Europe and all our allies and to put this deal together. What would we look like threatening to sanction them if we pull away or pull out of the JCPOA? My friend, that is the recipe for the U.S. dollar to cease being the international reserve currency, right? That's what he said. He was telling you this, right? Now, what did Donald Trump do? I'm asking you this. When he came into office, what did he do? He did the very thing that John Kerry warned that if the U.S. did, would mean the end of the dollar. I'm going to let you hear part of that again. You have to listen to this because this is very important because there's a paradigm shift taking place right now. So I want you to listen good.
They mastered the fuel cycle. When people say, oh, my gosh, I'm worried about what happens in year 15 or 20, they may become a nuclear threshold nation. Folks, they are a nuclear threshold nation today. They became that. And they became that while we had a policy of no enrichment. A country that's mastered the fuel cycle.
People say, oh, get the 5+1 together again and negotiate a better deal. You're beginning to deal with that. Will you deal with the problem of getting that 5+1 again to get on the same position you're in now?
One of the reasons, Sir Harry, that we felt it was important to move forward with this negotiation is the fact that the sanctions was already framed. Remember, folks, we don't trade with Iran. We have a primary embargo. And by the way, the primary embargo will stay. But if everybody thinks, oh, no, we're just tough, the United States of America, we have our secondary sanctions, we can force people to do what we want. I actually heard that argument on television this morning. I've heard it from a number of the organizations that are working that are opposed to this agreement. They're spreading the word, America is strong enough, our banks are tough enough, we can just bring the hammer down and force our friends to do what we want them to. Well, look, a lot of business people in this room. Are you kidding me? The United States is going to start sanctioning our allies and their banks and their businesses because we walked away from a deal and we're going to force them to do what we want them to do even though they agreed to the deal we came to? Are you kidding? That is a recipe, quickly, my friends, for them to walk away from Ukraine, where they are already very dicey and ready to say, well, we've done our bit. They were ready, in many cases, to say, well, we're the ones paying the price for your sanctions. It was Obama who went out and actually put together a sanctions regime that had an impact. I went to China. We persuaded China, don't buy more oil. We persuaded India and other countries to step back. Can you imagine trying to sanction them after persuading them to put in place sanctions to bring Iran to the negotiating table? And when they have not only come to the table, but they made a deal, we turn around and nix the deal and then tell them you're going to have to obey our rules on the sanctions anyway. That is a recipe, very quickly, my friends, business people here, for the American dollar to cease to be the reserve currency of the world, which is all...
Boom! Boom! There goes the dynamite. Now, at the beginning of that, if you would listen to the guy that was the host of the event, he said something that was very intriguing. He said, what about, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, what do we get, try to get a better deal, right? Right? And Kerry went on and said, are you kidding me? Now, I said that for this reason. I got some clips I want to play with y'all, but while they were talking, when that guy asked that question, I thought to myself, huh? Trump did try to get a better deal. He did exactly what Kerry warned him against. So I'm going to see if I can play this one-minute clip that I just pulled up on YouTube, okay? I just pulled it up on YouTube. And I'm going to see if I can play it for you all and see if it'll be loud enough for you all to hear, okay? So give me a second. As soon as that guy said that, it came to my mind. I said, let me go to YouTube and let me Google. And I Googled Trump wants new Iran deal, and it came up. So let me see if this will happen. Right here. Let's see. Give me a second. You know the commercials and ads come up. They'll never let you get on YouTube without these ads or whatever. So just give me 1 second. Let me see if it's going to be loud enough.
In a couple of weeks, President Trump will have to say whether the U.S. will be leaving the Iran nuclear deal. It's an agreement he's been highly critical of, so it didn't take long for him to mention Iran in his joint press conference with French President Macron on Tuesday.
France and the United States also agree that Iran cannot be allowed to develop a nuclear weapon, and that regime must end its support of terrorism. Roll over, where no matter where you are.
Thank you.
Hold on 1 second. We have a static. Let me see. Let me fast forward a little bit.
Hold on. So where you go?
Yeah, I want to put it away, but it's like 5 seconds. So, if you want to go to it,
he wants Trump to work with his opponents rather than tossing it away. Iran's nuclear capability isn't the only threat it poses, though. Iran and Trump also discussed its regional influence, particularly.
As far as Syria is concerned, let's get out to bring our incredible warriors back home. And we've done a big favor to neighboring countries, frankly. Done a favor for our. That being said, myself have expressed the fact that we don't want to give Iran the Mediterranean, especially since we really control it.
Treatment of the Iran deal for any hope has a striking. Yes, so far, Trump about that before the joint press. Very open and very honorable. However, he added afterwards that he wants to
this video was about, it says the headline says Trump wants new nuclear deal. That's what it says. So that goes hand in hand with what we were just talking about, when we just played what Kerry said. All right. But it's something that he said in that video that caught my eye as soon as he said it. He said they're not trying to give Iran a hand to the Mediterranean. And he said something very, very straightforward. Because we control it. You see that? Now, America's thousands of miles away. Her shore's a thousand of miles away. But she don't want Iran to have access to the Persian Gulf. Persian Gulf. Iran is called Persia. The Gulf of Aden. The Indian Ocean. The Red Sea. The Mediterranean. That is absolutely ludicrous, right? But all of this shows you that after the warning at an international conference that John Kerry was given after they had the new deal going, Trump comes in and he throws everything out that Kerry warns against. So we're going to play this next clip. We're going to try to get it on the roll and try to get this stuff together because I want to show you the domino effects of doing this. And remember what Mr. Kerry said. That is a recipe for the U.S. dollar to cease being the world reserves currency, right? Okay? And it is also a dividing point between the U.S. and the EU, as Macron said in that press conference. They're against each other in certain matters. But listen to this. This is 2 minutes. I want you to pay close attention to it. All of this goes with what we are trying to get at, that she's losing her position in everything, and she's losing her power with the steel, with the deception, and with the dollar. Her three pillars of power are being destroyed. So there's a major paradigm shift underway. I want you to pay close attention.
We had become well used to hearing Donald Trump being slated in the European Parliament during debates, but perhaps didn't expect that his successor, Joe Biden, would also attract scathing criticism.
He did not consult us when he withdrew from Afghanistan. He completely sidelined us in the AUKUS deal.
AUKUS relates to a new military pact between Canberra, London and Washington. It means a deal involving France building submarines for Australia has been scrapped. This has created big tensions between the EU and the US. The reaction from European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen to the tensions has not gone down well.
We have a Commission President who recently proclaimed her empire, stating European military forces would be part of the solution. When will the EU recognize it is part of the problem, not the solution?
Some legislators say the EU can no longer talk about values while at the same time cowering to America.
This is a country which is ruthlessly pursuing an espionage case against Julian Assange for publishing information about US war crimes in Afghanistan and Iraq, including attempts to kidnap and kill him.
Many members of the European Parliament claim the Donald Trump era proves that EU leaders will never stand up to the United States.
For example, what did they do when Trump tried to start trade wars, took the US out of the Paris Climate Agreement, withdrew funding for Palestinian refugees and supported Israel's illegal occupation program? And what about his rubbishing of the World Health Organization amid a global pandemic?
Lawmakers say revelations that the US continues to spy on top EU politicians, officials and institutions has also eroded trust. Experts agree.
It is absolutely central to explore ways in which trust could be re-established across Atlantic. Trust not only between governments, but also private sector and individuals who are very much concerned about, you know, how their data and their information is used.
Members of the European Parliament, MEPs, say Biden's failure to rejoin the Iran nuclear deal, despite indicating he would, also illustrates how the United States cannot be trusted. Jerome Hughes, Press TV, Brussels.
Yeah, that's from Europe. Her own allies are now coming to the realization that she cannot be trusted. See? She has enemies all over the world. And now her allies are looking at her with a dreadful eye. The judge that Allah said he would put on America. He would isolate her, he said. And he's going to burn her with fire. This, we're in this time. Some of you don't understand. The great, think about this. The three load-bearing pillars of American empire and white supremacy are under attack and being removed. Steel as the base. Deception as the base. The dollar as the lifeblood. All three of those pillars are being undercut and removed. All right? And now the trust between their brotherhood. We go around the world. See, there was one time when they could have a falling out with each other, right? And if any other power comes up against them, they'll unite. Now you're seeing the fissures in the dam. And you're seeing the water seep through the fissures in the dam. And it looks insignificant at this point. But if the fissures are not sealed, the entire mega dam will give way to the water that's pushing behind it. Huh? It's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And let me state that for the entire world here. I bear witness that there is no God but Master Farad Muhammad, Almighty God, Allah in person. And I bear witness that his last and his greatest messenger is the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I'll say that 1,000 times over. So let's go to the next clip. This is a 2 minute and some clip. This is about the USC. I got these things and I'm playing them for you to listen closely to this because we're going to come to a crescendo soon. Okay? Pay close attention to this.
Just hours after being sworn in, new U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo traveled to NATO headquarters.
I stopped it right there. I want you to understand. The reason I played the one about Europe and Joe Biden and the U.S. at odds before I played the one about when the Secretary of State, former Secretary of State Pompeo was sworn in, is because I wanted to get to something specific, but I'm getting ready to play this, but I want you to see that this goes back to what John Kerry was saying about if America did this and America did that and America did this, the ultimate outcome would be what? End of the dollar as the reserve currency, right? So I'm going to play this clip, and I want you to see just how things are unfolding with American politics, American policy, and her geopolitical plot to contain everybody so that she can maintain her rule. Okay? Let's listen to it.
Just hours after being sworn in, new U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo traveled to NATO headquarters in Brussels, where he highlighted how much the United States values the transatlantic relationship as a pillar of world security and stability. But that relationship has taken a hit recently, with the U.S. saying it will sanction any firms that do business with Iran. German Chancellor Angela Merkel spoke in Berlin Tuesday on U.S. President Donald Trump's decision last week to pull out of the Iran nuclear deal. We've now seen a shift in German-American and European-American relations. While Great Britain, France, and Germany were of the opinion that the agreement against Iran's nuclear armament is an agreement that certainly has weaknesses, it is an agreement we should stand by.
Iran's foreign minister, Javad Zarif, met with his European counterparts in Brussels Tuesday to discuss how to keep the Iran nuclear deal alive.
Well, it's up to the European Union and European Union member states to make sure that their interests and our interests are protected and that illegality by the United States is not rewarded.
Secretary Pompeo says the nuclear deal created wealth in Iran that drove its malign activity and that the U.S. withdrawal was not aimed at Europe. But experts say Europeans are furious at the U.S. for reimposing sanctions and feel their options are limited.
So Europeans felt that they are left with absolutely no choice, but that also this administration has no strategy, no plan B. So basically, Americans are decided for Europeans and for the rest of the world that they want to pull out of this deal and reestablishing sanctions, not only for their companies, but also extraterritorial sanctions, and therefore deciding on the fate of the Iran deal for everybody.
Asked by VOA if he thinks there will be a diplomatic standoff over sanctions on Iran, Trump's national security advisor, John Bolton, said no.
I think inevitably as U.S. sanctions kick in, it'll have an effect on Europe. I think their trade and investment with Iran will drop as well. And I think Iran then faces a very difficult choice.
Bolton added the economic benefits of the Iran deal will soon dry up, and that Iran's economy is already facing difficulties, which led to demonstrations at the end of last year. Tuesday, the State Department announced Pompeo will give his first major foreign policy speech next Monday. The focus, Iran. Cindy Shane, VOA News, the State Department.
Well, that war with Persia, that war is heating up. America, she's positioning herself. This isn't me good. She's trying to deceive you with all of this stuff that's going on in the inner domestic politics, how Biden is trying to pretend like he is for blacks. When you can go and look at his record, his voting record, and his speeches on the Senate floor about how he talked about he would never allow his children to go to school with black kids. Huh? All of a sudden, he's switched up his stuff. He's a zebra. But you're looking at him like he's a horse. You think he got rid of his stripes. But I tell you what, you are some fools. And this is what they do. This is how they play you. Notice at the end of America's time to rule, she puts a black head of the military, remember Colin Powell under George Bush? Huh? Goes from that to a black president with black national security advisor, Condoleezza Rice. Right, she was under George Bush, a national security advisor. Then they put Barack Obama in office, and then he gives him a black national security advisor, right? And now we got Joe Biden in office. We skip over Trump, and we go to Joe Biden, and he has what? A so-called black vice president? Knowing their mentality, America now sets out to deceive her once slaves and now free slaves who number between, well, it says 20, 30, but we say now 46 million with a meaningless offer of social equality, but never any earth to live on. Allah is well able to take the kingdom from whom he pleases and give it to whom he pleases. This we all know. America should, as it is written, give up the slave and set him on the road to doing something for himself in the way of financing him to do this. He goes right in hand with position, and we're going to go right back to the economic. America is spending billions of dollars in a futile attempt to stop the stormy war clouds that are hovering over her concessions. But she is not getting at the root cause of it. So she's over in Iran. She's over in the Middle East, in Syria, in Iraq, in Lebanon, in occupied Palestine. She's over in Asia, right? Try down to him in China. She's down in South and Central America and in the Caribs. She's even in Europe, right? And she's trying to position her economic and her political and her military power so that she can hedge her bets against anyone rising up to challenge her or to equal her on the international stage, right? But Muhammad says, but she is not getting to the root cause of it, these war clouds that are going on over there. She's not getting to the root cause of why China is rising. She's not getting to the root cause of why Russia is reemerging. She's not getting to the root cause of why the small nations in the Middle East and North Africa and then the Ten Horns in South and Central America are rising up to challenge America. She's not getting to the root cause. Muhammad, tell us what's the root cause. Muhammad replies, the reason why the cloud is rising with destruction is because of her so-called Negro slaves whom she refuses to let go. See? At the root of all of this is you. At the root of all of this is you, because you are God's chosen people. So let me flip to something. We're going to go play the next clip. That's a minute. Okay? But I want to read something to you, okay? It says, and this goes hand in hand with you being the root cause of her fall. You being the cause of her problems, because as with Pharaoh of ancient Egypt, with all of the instructions that Moses gave him, he would not willingly let Moses' people go. And every time God plagued him, he'll come back and say, well, you suppose I'm going to do better by him, but I ain't going to let him go. I'll let him get into my politics. I'll let him go get into this. I'll let him get this corporation. I'll let him get a job here. I can't let him go, though. And it took God to chastise him and bring him to his knees. And he was so arrogant after God brought him to his knees, he told Pharaoh, get your people and get them out of here right now, right? And being so full of his own hubris, after Moses and his people left, he called his chiefs of staff and said, mount up, we're going after them. We're going to kill them out there. After letting them go, he was going to pursue them to kill them. That's your book, right? But he didn't know that when he was strapping on his own boots, because he didn't want his general to lead the army. He said, I'm going to lead it this day. He didn't know that he was strapping his boots for the last time, because God had hooks in his jaw, fed him his own arrogance as sweet wine to lure him out to the place where God was going to kill him. This is the same thing that's going on with America. This is the exact same thing. Therefore, when we look at China's rise, I know China might be over in Africa doing certain things that are not kosher or halal or whatever you want to say. But at the same time, they are building infrastructure. They are setting up stuff. They are loaning the stuff without attachments like the West didn't do. Right? Muhammad is telling you why this must take place. Listen to this good. And I'll go to the phone line in a second. We are now living in the days of the judgment and in the days of a great separation of peoples and nations. This problem of separating you and me from our enemies and placing us in our own land back among our own people and raising the so-called Negroes of America up to a proper place in civilization is taking place. Stop right there. I mean, you say we don't need to do jack but what God had ordained us. Let me tell you, this stuff is already underway. With the collapsing of the dollar, with the collapsing of America's economy, the pursuit of wars and more wars, all of this stuff is to force the American so-called Negro to unite. Because you are those dry bones. We getting out of here. But we going to get out of here in God's time, not on your time. So he says this. Remember, and this is very important, because some of you can't see your own salvation in China's rise. Some of you can't see your own salvation in some of the African nations banding together economically. Some of you can't see your own salvation in the South and Central American nations rebelling against Western hegemony and overthrowing these dictators that America and the West has put in their governments. Some of you can't see that you lie at the root of all this. So I'm going to read it to you from the words of Elijah Muhammad so that you can get a good understanding. corner of the mantle and lift it into its place. You hear what I'm saying? Pay close attention to this. Remember that it was Muhammad with his own hands who guided it into its place. Stop right there. We're not talking about the Muhammad of 1,400 years ago, may the peace and blessings of Allah forever be upon him. We're talking about the Muhammad of today. He is guiding this stuff. His words, we're going, you hear me reading them. That's the guidance. China took the guidance, and now China is the number one economy, the number one manufacturer. Right? They didn't do it on their own because we see through history that they could not. They suffered famine after famine, but only when they instituted the five-year economic program by Elijah Muhammad did they raise themselves out of poverty and now have become wealthy. So Muhammad is, this Muhammad of today is guiding these things into place. And he says, this was a symbol of you and me here today. We need the help of our people who are living in the four major points of our compass. Come and help raise us, their dead brothers, and put us back into our own place, in our own nation, among our own people, in our own native land. How does that happen if China don't rise? How does that happen if the dollar doesn't collapse? How does that happen if America doesn't suffer war after war after war to weaken her military dominance? How does that happen if she does not get exposed for her lying and her backstabbing and her underhandedness? How does that happen? So all of these events that you see taking place, it is for you, and it has been done for a divine reason. Brother, my good brother, Gerald, I'm going to bring you in right after this clip, because this is a one-minute clip. That's why I'm doing this, okay? So hold on one second. This goes hand in hand with this, because this is talking about Iran, Pakistan, China, Russia, all of these nations. Hold on. About the dollar. Remember, this goes hand in hand with the other clips that you hear, and this goes hand in hand with what Elijah Muhammad did. Our brothers from the four points of our compass. What compass? The compass of the globe. From the four different directions of the globe. They're going to do it willingly or unwillingly because God commanded it. You know how sometimes you're riding in your car and before you know it, you're daydreaming. And then you wind up somewhere that you had no idea you were at or that you had planned to be. Because it wasn't you that did it. Even though you were in the car, you had the wheel, it was something else that drove you to that point. The same thing with the rise of these nations. They have a specific job to do. God has ordained that. Okay? So listen closely to this.
Pointed out that China made a major investment in steel plants beginning about 20 years ago.
Iran has announced it's dumping the dollar in favor of the euro for official financial reporting. That will make it the latest nation to limit the use of U.S. currency. Just last year, China set up a ruble-yuan payment system for transactions with Russia. Pakistan then announced plans to ditch the greenback as well for its trade with Beijing. Tehran-based economist Amin Mohseni Charaglu thinks these are moves in the right direction.
Is a good start. That means that the policymakers are moving towards, you know, this could set up the infrastructure, the financial reporting infrastructure, the banking infrastructure to move towards international dealings in euro, which is a positive step because, in my opinion, the more U.S. dollar right now has the hegemony in the global reserve currency. As you know, about 63% of global reserve currency is in U.S. dollar. So if you want to move away from that hegemony into a more multipolar global reserve currencies, this is a positive step that will reduce U.S. Influence in mingling in government economies such as Iran.
Remember what he said? Iran, China, Russia, Pakistan want to dump the dollar. And this would rebuff and remove America's influence on the economies because America has had the privilege to export inflation all these years because she had the world reserve currency. She could print money in infinitum because she had the world reserve currency. She exported inflation while she imported goods just on the word of I'll pay you later, right? And she overthrew governments by the exporting, deliberately exporting inflation and then having an uprising in the nation because the people could not afford that daily bread. And these nations are sick of it. So they are making moves to remove the dollar as the world reserve currency, right? Before we go a little further, let me bring my good brother Jerry in. I know he got something good to say. I say unto you, my brother, love. You there, brother?
Black Fly, sir. Yes, sir. Black Fly.
Yes,
can
sir,
you
go
hear
ahead.
Me, brother?
Yeah, I hear you
yes,
good.
Sir,
go ahead.
Kind of break, yes, sir. You're just kind of breaking up. Initially wanted to call in and touch on the nuclear weapons stockpile of America, China, and Russia. But since you touched on Joe Biden, brother, the messenger said the white man promises you, but then he will fail you. This epitomizes the Red State website article titled Democrats Are Breaking Their Promise to Historically Black Colleges. President Joe Biden has demonstrated remarkable lack of gratitude to the black voters who kept him afloat in the Democratic presidential primaries and were instrumental in his election last year. The $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation bill has raised hackles from both the left and right, but one particular provision in the proposal has elicited criticism from Democrats, at least one of which indicated they would vote against the bill if the issue is not addressed. In the original itineration of the Black Build Back Better agenda, Biden proposed $55 billion in funding to historically black colleges and universities, HBCUs. However, when the proposed legislation went to Congress for reconciliation, it cut the number to $30.5 billion, according to BNC News. The new proposed funding includes $27 billion in tuition subsidies, pardon me, $1.5 billion for institutional aid and $2 billion to improve research and developing infrastructure. However, HBCUs will have to compete with other minority-serving institutions, MCIs, for the smaller pot of funding. Adams and Warnock sent a letter to their Democratic colleagues in Congress proposing a compromise in which they would give back $15 billion of what was initially proposed. They were rebuffed. Rep. Adams responded by threatening to vote against the bill in the letter she wrote. This is contrary to President Biden's own goals for HBCU and MCI funding. If this language as written becomes law, it is accurate to say that HBCU will only successfully compete for pennies on the dollar. Doesn't that sound like the white man of America, brother? And his promises to black people and everything, and which, hell, brother, we still ain't received 40 acres and a mule. So it lets you know the lies in which they promised us, and then he failed us. And also, can you hear me, brother?
Yeah, I hear you, brother. They messing with the lies, yes, but keep going. We're going to go through it. We're not going to let them stop this.
Yes, sir. It keeps breaking up, but I want to segue open to what you spoke of earlier in relation to China and Russia and America and its nuclear arsenal. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but officials from America and Chinese officials of both military parties met several weeks ago in reference to China building nuclear weapons, and so America basically was trying to get China to stop building so many nuclear weapons. And if you go over, and if you're the listening audience, there's an article in the National Interest, and it epitomizes the fear of what America has for not only China but Russia and its nuclear weapons building. The article is titled, Russia and China Are Already Winning the Nuclear Arms Race. And so just to kind of cut through the chase, I'm going to just read to you what one official said of what China basically has done in the nuclear arms race. It said, U.S. satellite imagery has revealed that China is in the process of rapidly expanding its strategically nuclear arsenal by up to 4,000 warheads, the number of nuclear warheads up to 20 times greater than recent U.S. Department of Defense estimates of the size of the entire nuclear arsenal. Peter Hussey recently noted in an op-ed published by the National Interest that U.S. satellites have discovered some 350 to 400 new Chinese missile silos, each laid out in a grid pattern some there kilometers apart. These new intercontinental ballistic missile launchers are designed to hold the DF-41 missile. And then it goes on to say here, it said it's going to take up to 10 to 15 years to modernize 400 silos that already exist, Heisen said, and China is basically building almost that many overnight. So the speed of difference in that threat is what really concerns me most. Why are they building that enormous, enormous nuclear capability faster than anyone in the world? It's the almost unprecedented nuclear modernization. They could put, you know, 10 recently vehicles on every one of those ICBMs if they wanted to. There's nothing to limit that ability. So, brother, that plays hand in hand with exactly what the messenger says and what you continue to inform the readers and listeners to the Hiram 1555 blog, as well as the Star Crescent report, that it is this yellow man who is chasing down the white man in every sphere, and the nuclear weapons is what really have America concerned, because at one time America was the superpower of nuclear weapons. Now Russia and China are challenging them in that aspect. Go ahead, brother, continue on with this marvelous teaching. Appreciate it, brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. I salute you, my good brother. Now, brothers and sisters, have you not seen the pattern that America is desperate? I have, like, on my screen, I just want to show you. I just want to talk to you for a minute. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Besides my Blog Talk Radio dashboard, I have 13 screens up. I was pulling this stuff up. It's about trade imbalance with America. She got another trade imbalance with China. Even while the trade war is going on with China, she still just reached another deficit with China, another $73.3 billion with China. And it says trade imbalance with China, this politically sensitive issue, surged 10.8%. Even while this is going on, she cannot get out the grasp of China. She's in China's orbit now. She's China's moon now. See, and the effect of China's growing power is weakening America's stance internationally. And so Elijah Muhammad, the last messenger of God, warned you of this day. You cannot say that he didn't say these things. I was reading to you. That's the book. You can't say that he lied. We just heard the white man himself say it on his news clips. Well, he bore witness to what Elijah Muhammad was warning you all before when he talked. Y'all mocked that man. And he said, no, a lot of you say to hell with Elijah Muhammad. But the day will soon come when you're going to say to heaven with him. What's going on to me? He said, the reason you're doing this stuff, I don't care what you believe in. You can believe in Buddhism or Hinduism or foolishness. It don't matter to me what you believe in today. You believe in that because my God has not struck out after you 100%. But when my God strikes out after you 100%, you're going to run to Elijah Muhammad. This is the time God is manifesting that Elijah Muhammad told you. See, the dry bones just they didn't come to life, right? They had to be beaten. They had to go through the winds of war to receive life in them. And only after they were beaten through war and rejection and brutality that you see going on the streets when they're killing you and locking you up and all this stuff, especially with the economy imploding, wars building up, all of this stuff is going to force a reappraisal. And once that reappraisal hits you, the book said that all the dry bones stood up. Not most of them, not some of them, all of the dry bones. Not only did they stand up, they stood up in their rightful place, and they looked like an exceedingly great army. We are the army of God. Stand strong, black man and woman. This is our time. This is our day. As I always say, I love you more than life, but I want you to know that there's a God who has come to you in person, who left all of heaven to deliver you, and his name is Master Wallace Farad Muhammad. There's a man who gave all that he had, took nothing from you, just gave it to you, everything, for your redemption. Through his stripes, we were healed. We were redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I submit to you today that the honorable Elijah Muhammad is that Lamb. He is Jesus. We salute all of you for listening. We thank you. We're going to have more shows. Join us next on this powerful platform for truth. And go over to the Patreon. Go over to the Hyrule's 1555 blog. Go over to the Red Pill Diaries on YouTube. Join up. Subscribe. If you haven't done it, do it. I love you all. I salute you all. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
Said I like the moon I miss. Day to day the rosy day. Hope is now with bounder up. Diabetes are waking up to what's possible with rebellion. Rebellion works differently than any other diabetes pill to lower blood sugar in all three of these ways. Increase insulin, decrease sugar, and slows food. The majority of people taking rebellion lower their blood sugar and reach their A1C less than 7. People taking Rybelsus lost up to 8 pounds. Rybelsus isn't for people with type 1 diabetes. Don't take Rybelsus if you or your family ever had medullary thyroid cancer, or had multiple endocrine neoplasia syndrome type 2, or if allergic to it. Stop Rybelsus and get medical help right away. Get a lump or swelling in your neck, severe stomach pain, or an allergic reaction. Serious side effects may include pancreatitis. Tell your provider about vision problems or changes. Taking Rybelsus with a sulfonylurea or insulin increases low blood sugar risk. Side effects like nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea may lead to dehydration, which may worsen kidney problems. Wake up to what's possible with Rybelsus. You may pay as little as $10 per prescription. Ask your health care provider about Rybelsus.
I don't care if people talk about guns, so.